Wow. Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here on CalBanyan.com. Oh, I'm so excited to be here with you. You know, we're getting all ready for the NGH Convention, National Guild of Hypnotists Convention, in August. Let me see, August 10th, 11th, 12th. Are you going to be there? I'll be there. Who else is going to be there? Erica is going to be there. Brenda is going to be there. The co-hosts, Erica, Brenda, Celeste. I'm going to have a great time. I've been there for the last 21 years. I expect to be there for the next 21 years. It's the convention that beats all other conventions for the organization that just beats all other organizations. All right, let me see here. I'm Cal Banyan. I'm the producer of Five Path Self-Hypnosis System I talked about in my last video. Seven Path Self-Hypnosis, the very first mind-body-spirit approach to hypnosis, the very first insight-oriented self-hypnosis program gives you permanent results, and the five-path induction, which is rapid induction for professionals, eight-word induction, and its three-word cousin. So you can just always Google them. I'm the guy that put them out, and I could not be happier to be contributing in my way to the development of our profession, right along with the National Guild of Hypnotists and Dr. Dwight Damon, the president of the National Guild of Hypnotists. All right. What have I got for you this time? Well, I'm doing a series of three videos. The very first video, that was on the universal script. What if one script could do it all? And I'm going to be doing a talk on the same subject at the National Guild of Hypnotists on Friday. And then the previous video, just one before this, I did, what if a system of hypnosis could raise you in the profession, make your hypnosis more successful? And that is Five Path. And I'll be doing a talk at the National Guild of Hypnotists on that as well. And then today, what have I got for you? I've got, what if there was something you could do that made your hypnosis sessions work when everything else has failed? What if you've done everything you think you should do to make it happen, to make the change, and still your client continues to have a problem or goes away, seems to be working, and they come back? Parts mediation work. That's what this one's going to be about. What to do when everything else fails, which is the five paths, fifth phase. All right, let's get started. Oh, before I do that, let me just invite you to come to my upcoming class. I don't know if this one will get out in time for you to get into my July class, July 9th through the 20th, and here in Dallas, Plano, Texas. But definitely this video will be out in time for you to enroll in our October 1st through 12th National Guild of Hypnotists approved Banyan certification super course. It's super course because it has five path certification, seven path self hypnosis certification, the secret language of feelings, eight word induction, the five path induction, and much, much more. All right, let's just dig right in. Let's see here. Wow, parts mediation work. What you can do when everything else has failed. All right, so you know, you talk about Cal Banyan, you're going to be talking about five path, five phase advanced transformational hypnosis. And in my previous video, I talked about, you know, phases one, two, three, four. That's the preparation testing phase is one. Two is age regression, progression, takes care of the cause of problem. Forgiveness of others, phase three, forgiveness of self. This is cutting those last ties, energy connected to the old behaviors and the old way of being and feeling. And for most people, that's all you need. Once you've taken care of the cause of the problem, that is sufficient. And they're happy, they go away, they tell their friends, more people come to see you, and everything is excellent. But there is a certain segment of the population that even after you do all of that, or whatever process, if you have a process, or whatever hypnosis tricks and techniques that you have, you do them all, and still the client either does not completely experience success or only experiences success for a short period of time and then comes back and says, hey, I'm having problems. What do you do? What you do is I want you to think maybe it's secondary gain. Now, secondary gain is, you see, every problem starts somewhere. And so, you know, when it starts somewhere, everything that most hypnotists do are either trying to suggest away the behavior, or if they do advanced techniques like age regression, they try to go after the cause. But I want you to consider that if the client doesn't get better, maybe there's something in the environment now that's reinforcing the old behavior or even demanding it. For example, you take somebody who stops drinking or wants to reduce drinking or get control of drinking alcohol. Then what happens is maybe now they don't have any social outlets. I mean, that used to be going out on Friday night or Wednesday night or whatever, drinking with the buddies or whatever, and now they're not going to drink, and so they don't go out. Well, the secondary gain issue is if I give up drinking, I lose all that social contact. Another thing is maybe they've got back pain, and if they've got back pain and if they've been diagnosed with chronic back pain, maybe they got an insurance payment, or maybe they've got some government payment that they get because of their disability. If they get well, they could lose something really significant. And so we can go on listing all these different things that people would lose if they get better. Now, your average hypnotist will come across this sometimes, but if you are a medical professional or a massage therapist or a counselor, social worker, nurse, these people who work with people who have chronic problems, what you're going to find out is people are amazing. When they have a chronic problem, a challenge that they have through their life, they will adapt to it, and some will even find the good in it. And once they've found the good in it, then if they get well or if they change, they lose that good thing. And that can cause internal conflict. Okay, so here's the story. When I was in graduate school, I took this class, and it was about mediation. I took the class about mediation only because I heard the professor was really good. I had no interest in it. I was going to be a clinical psychologist, and I had no reason to think mediation would be important. And then what happened, I loved the class. It was so cool. But then I just went on with my clinical stuff. And then just so happens, while I was working at the North Dakota State Hospital as a master's level psychologist, I got called in on this case. And this case was where these two ladies, their doctors were considering that maybe they're ready to leave the hospital. Now let me tell you about some psychiatric hospitals. It's typically easier to get in than it is to get out. But the North Dakota State Hospital had this really great idea. I don't know if it's standard in all psychiatric hospitals, but what they had done is they set up an apartment on the hospital grounds. And what they would do is they'd put patients who they thought were ready to leave the hospital in that apartment. Sometimes they'd have a roommate, sometimes they wouldn't. And they would see how much support the person would need, if any, to be able to take care of themselves. And these two ladies were being put in such an environment. And even though, with all the structure of the hospital, they were doing pretty good, when they were put in this environment of having to take care of their own daily living skills, I mean, cook and maybe buy groceries and to live with someone else, they started experiencing the stress of everyday life, and they started what's called decompensate, then become symptomatic. Now, what we hoped would happen was that they would be able to handle it, maybe with some help, and then we could decide if they would go into a halfway house where there's 24-hour support with some staff people, or maybe they would go into an apartment where someone would stop by once a day or once a week, which, you know, for the state is a lot less expensive than having to provide, 24-hour care in a hospital environment. So getting people out of the hospital is both good for the government and good for the people because they have a higher quality of life. All right. So, as they were in that apartment, they went and started decompensating and going crazy, and for, respectfully, that wasn't a long way for them to become symptomatic. I mean, that they lived in a psychiatric hospital. And we really, really, really wanted to do the best we could to help these ladies out. And so one of the social workers involved came to me and said, Cal, what do you think? Is there anything that you could do to help these people? And I thought, you know, in all my psychological training, I never had anything that would that really suited, you know, how do you get people to handle daily living skills when they're in conflict with another person and avoid becoming symptomatic. I mean, I just couldn't think of anything. And then it dawned on me, what about mediation? And I ran through my course in my mind, and I remember this warning. They said, you know, you should mediation between parties is only appropriate when the parties are of normal intelligence and mentally healthy. And well, these two ladies were, you know, of normal intelligence at least, but they were definitely not mentally healthy. And so according to the rules of mediation, this would not be advisable at all. But I really had no other option. So I said, what the heck? And so what I did was I said, okay, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to have these two ladies, and they both had these clinical social workers that they had a good relationship with, and they knew that those ladies wanted to help them. And so what I did is I enlisted them into the process. So each one of these two ladies who were in conflict had their social worker to help coach them through it. And since they didn't know, the ladies didn't know me and had no reason to trust me, and strangers can make people who are mentally ill feel, you know, uncomfortable. And but they trusted their social workers. And what I did is I took them through a standard mediation process. And what I found out was it helped. It really, really helped a lot. And then these ladies were able to get out of the environment became much less stressful, and their symptoms went down, and they eventually were able to get out of the hospital. Yay! So I was very excited about this. And I did a kind of a post-process interview with these ladies to find out what they thought really helped them. And they said, you know, it really helped us to understand how the way I thought and the way I behave affected other people, and as a result, changed their behavior and had an effect on me. This is very insightful. And so I went and I talked to Dr. James Antes, who was the one who was my instructor for mediation, and I told him all about it. He says, wow, this is groundbreaking, because the general belief was that mediation is not appropriate for people who are not mentally healthy, and you've got a very good case here that it is. So being a professor in the university, what do they want to do? Publish or perish? He says, write it up. We'll publish it. And so I wrote it up, and then he went through it and polished it up a little bit and made sure it was all right according to mediation steps. And we published it, Hospital Community Psychiatry, very prestigious thing. And I was very excited about that, and I wanted to research it more. But Dr. Antes was not very interested in clinical stuff at all. That really wasn't his area. He says, you want to research it some more? Talk to some of the clinicians. So I started going to the other clinicians in the psychology department, and they just really weren't very interested. They said, it's really not our thing. You see, professors tend to know an awful lot about a very, very small slice of the scientific pie. They know more and more and more about less and less and less, and they become very specialized. And the idea of taking on a new topic is typically not that interesting to a professor. And so I thought I'd hit it from a clinical point of view. I says, look, what if we didn't do interpersonal conflict and mediation for the mentally ill? What if we worked on intrapersonal, intrapsychic, inside an individual's conflict? Everybody gets into conflict where on one hand they want this and on the other hand they want that. And what if we start doing research on mediation as a therapeutic process like that? We've already shown that it has a therapeutic effect when between two people. And they said, nah, that would never work. And so, you know, I finished up my work at the university, and then I got into hypnosis, and I started learning about parts work. And I was watching these people who did parts work. Jerry Kine did parts work, Charles Tebbets did parts work, and a few people did parts work. And I looked at it, they all kind of had their own little process, which was very kind of non-systematic. Kind of like intuitive, seat of the pants, that was my impression. They might argue with me about that. And I saw the value of parts work if we could put a system to it, and the system was parts mediation, to take the ability to psychically divide someone into two or more parts in somnambulism, and then work with those two parts separately to resolve the internal conflict. And that's what happened. And I found it that it was very, very useful in that special situation of secondary gain. So let me just run through this. Okay, real quick. I've got an outline for you. All right. First of all, you must have a somnambulistic client, because they need to hallucinate being these two different parts. And you need somnambulism for an individual to hallucinate. So I have my client who is hypnotized. For me, I know the complete history of the problem because I've been through age regression, forgiveness of others, forgiveness of self. But you could really use this. Any hypnotist could use parts mediation work. When you've come to your wit's end and you're stuck on a client, parts mediation work. All right. So you divide the person into two parts psychically. You'll say something like this. There seems to be a part of you that wants to change and a part of you that wants to continue in the old way. For example, the still wanting to drink too much part, or the still wanting to smoke marijuana part, or the still wanting to bite the fingernails part, so on. The still wanting to kick the dog part, okay? Okay, and then what you're going to say is you're going to say, I believe all of your parts do what they do for some good reasons. And that all of your parts are good, wanting to do some things for some good reasons. Then what I'm going to do is, in a very stylized process kind of way, I'm going to have the still wanting to do the old thing part tell me all the good things about that. We usually come up with 3, 4, 5 good reasons. And well, they are good reasons. Maybe they need to relax. Maybe they need to have some enjoyment. Maybe they need to have some challenge. Maybe they want to socialize. And then I have the wanting to change part recognize that those are some very good things. Then I'm going to have the wanting to change part go in and I say, what are the reasons you want to change? And they come up with some good reasons, you know, more quality of life, less stress, whatever it is, their reasons are. And then I have the still wanting to do the old behavior part recognize that those are good things too. Now, as a part of this process, you know, I have no power. What I am trying to do is uncover the needs, wants, and desires of both of these parts. Once I uncover these needs, wants, and desires of both parts of them, and have each of the parts recognize that these things that they want are good, we will go into a brainstorming process. And we'll say, what are some other ways that you could fulfill these needs, wants, and desires without jeopardizing them? Let's see if we can find a win-win way of doing it. And through a process of renaming parts and having them generate this brainstorming, we actually can come up with an agreement that both of those two parts or two of the parties in mediation talk can say, hey, maybe this would work. Then what we're going to do is we have both of those parts give it a try. Would you be willing to give that a try? Yes, I would. Now, what happens is these alternative behaviors that the two parts came up with becomes your script. Okay? What we will do is we'll have those two parts, the wanting to change part and the wanting to do the old thing part, reintegrate. And then we're going to say to them, now you're going to be able to get all these things you always wanted without giving up the other things you wanted by doing the following. And we read back to them the other solutions that they offered together. They have a huge ownership of this, and it has a really, really great way of handling this conflict, because we find out that they both parts pretty much want the same thing. And if there is any kind of doubt about whether it's going to work, we just say, that's all right, perfectly understandable. What we're going to do is, what do you think about giving this a test for a week? When we come back next week, we'll evaluate how this has gone, make any changes that are necessary, or just confirm that it is working. And then we get that agreement. All right. We'll segue into direct suggestion or any other suggestions that need to be added, and then we will emerge them. And, oh, let me have this in front of me, my trusty clipboard that I have to have in every one of these classes, every one of these videos, because I like to have a system and I have an outline. All right, so that is it, parts mediation work. Come to the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. I will spend 2 hours teaching you how to do that on Saturday at 4 p.m. Come to the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. I will teach a class called Parts Mediation Work Bring Success When Everything Else Has Failed. Easily overcome secondary gain and complete the journey of success. And you can really get it. And heck, we get together. That's always fun, right? And you can ask, well, how about in this situation? How about in this situation? And of course, in every talk that I give, when I'm done with the talk, I hang out and answer more questions you might have. All right, so that's it. I want to see you at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. I want to see you in class. Got one coming up in July. Got one coming up in October. If you're watching this video a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, and you want to know about my training schedule, please go to calbanion.com, and you know what will happen? I will have my entire training schedule right there for you. So come out to Dallas. I love it. I'll guarantee it's probably warmer than where you're at, unless like you live in Tucson, Arizona or something. All right, Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.